Isaac Norman was one of my favorite players because he was, it's an understatement to say that he was undersized. Little bitty guy.
Drummer.
It still is. Still a fabulous musician. But he had mentioned in a press conference before that game that he would love to make a Kiwon type play. And go figure, in the biggest stage of his life, in the biggest game, and as I recall, against Dominic Franks, who played in the NFL with Jake Strain at quarterback, Isaac goes out and runs a double move late in the game and scores the game-winning touchdown. I will never forget it, especially because it was 5'6" versus 6'2", and he went out and ran a great route and made a great play. I'm so proud of him.
Strain will roll out to the right side. He's got good protection. He will unload it, and the ball is caught! Jakes will score! It's Isaac Norman with 18 seconds remaining.
Well, I think we talked about maybe scoring too quick in there. This is incredible. This is unbelievable. Ripley wouldn't believe this game. There you see the replay. Strain going back and just picking out Norman. And then Norman just outruns the secondary all the way down for the go-ahead touchdown.
Isaac Norman is the kid I talked about a moment ago who once dreamed about playing in this game as a little guy. And now, he's still a little guy, a 5'6 senior, into the end zone with an amazing touchdown. And Woodward trying to make it a four-point game. Union would have to get a touchdown to win. And by golly, there's enough time to do it. 18 seconds to go. It's now 47-44.
Is that not Isaac Norman's first catch of the night?
I believe so. And it's down now to the last 9 seconds. There's that quick pass to the sideline. Forks Miller, he did not get out of bounds. And this game is over. Jenks with an incredible comeback, 48-44.
06, week two, it's Union, it's 9-6. Kevin Wright's the new head coach. That was kind of different.
Oh, man, it just a crazy ball game. And again, late in the game, two crazy things happened. Union scored to take the lead, but the play got called back on the illegal motion. And then I will never forget, during a TV timeout, the streaker appeared from the south end zone and ran proudly the entire length of the field right in front of our huddle. And we could never get our kids' attention back again. Thank goodness we ran out of time so we could hold on for the victory, 9-6 over Union.
One of the classics, even though it's a loss, a triple overtime loss to Booker T. Washington, 43-37.
Yes, and you know, all I can think of is that was the christening night of the Sharp Center. It wasn't quite ready yet, but we were encouraged to run out of the new building anyway because we've been waiting 2 years, and we ran out and. In a district opener to Booker T, we lose in triple overtime. So I don't know if it was my vote or the seniors' vote, but we chose to not come out of the building again. So we went back to the old locker room, and certainly it paid off because we went on a pretty good streak after that.
You guys beat Enid in the state championship. That's remarkable because that game at TU's delayed a couple of times because of cold weather. The pipes burst in the locker room. What a mess that was. You guys had to come out and scrape. Right?
Sure.
The snow and the ice off the turf to
practice. Sure. If you remember, Mr. Laptad, our booster club president, went and bought every snow shovel in Tulsa County, and our whole booster club and team went out, and we shoveled and shoveled and shoveled 8 inches of snow off our field so we could have a place to practice. And then, you know, when you delay high school kids a week, you got to figure out what to do with them because they're chomping at the bit. Then we think we're going to play, and then TU calls, we have to extend it another week. I didn't know if I was going to survive. And then the night of the game, it's 12 degrees. It's still big snow banks on the field, but our kids, Tanner Shuck, Jake Laptad, that crew, they went out and put on a show against Enid that night.
Yeah, I don't want to dismiss the 06 season or that era with those kids that you just mentioned, because in 06, before the season, and you'll remember the date well, was the death of your starting center, Garrett Bennett.
Yeah, July the 12th, my anniversary. We had been out... I'm glad you brought that up. We had been out we close out our summer workouts with a paintball festival where the kids get to go out, the seniors, and get to shoot the coaches about 5,000 times of paintballs. It was worth it, but it was rough. But Coach Calabrese and myself had stayed late to pay the bill, clean up and everything, and the kids had taken off to go back home. And, you know, we're driving down the turnpike. I'll never forget it. I saw all the fire trucks and the emergency vehicles and from way off. And I remember telling Greg, you know, Greg, this is not good. I mean, we were half a mile away. And sure enough, I broke the law and jumped the median and went over and got to visit with the highway patrol. And it was a rough day in Trojan, you know, Trojan history. And probably the most challenging thing was going with the highway patrol to tell his mother. It was rough. And then maybe if there is a silver lining, it's just the way the team rallied around his honor and, you know, won it. So it was a tough, tough year, but a fulfilling year.
76 was his number, and I think you guys scored a total something like 76 points in the playoffs.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Not an accident.
No. Not at all. And this shows you about the Bennett family, because they would come back.
Sure.
After that group at reunion, at our golf reunions, Keith Bennett and his family would come back.
Sure, and we still give out the Garrett Bennett Memorial Award every year at our banquet to the most team-oriented offensive lineman that we have. So we still honor Garrett's name with an award.
Then in 07, one of the games that's interesting is Jinx Union at TU, and NFL Films has heard so much about this rivalry that they come to document it.
Yeah, and you know, that production, I love it. I still watch it to this day. They did a wonderful job. You know, three guys showed up with little handheld cameras, and they mic'd a few people up. We never knew they were there. And then a few weeks later, they put together this production that I thought did a great job of explaining to the nation what the Jinx Union rivalry was about. They went there to tell a story, and you know, some of those don't work out that well, but this one, it was well done. The only catch is we didn't win. We're going in, if you remember, we're going in to take a 3-score lead, and if I remember right, the Rumpelheimer, he knocks the ball loose from Ginther, and they run it in from 50 yards out, so we go in from a potential 3-score lead to 1, and we really never got the momentum back, had a chance to tie it, and you know, bobbled the snap. Got a bad snap on the extra point.
In overtime. And so I remember Dallas Beeler, who was the holder, coming back. Great teaching moment. And this is so typical and a great example of you. Not disappointed. I mean, disappointed, but not upset. You just said, Dallas, the next time that should happen, just take it and run with it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just another great example of you in a teaching moment.
Well, you just never can waste a crisis. You know, you from the stands, it looks so easy to take a ball that's going 60 miles an hour and stick it on a tee and kick it in 1.3 seconds, but it's not that easy. But, you know, that's just what you do. You have to teach them. They have to be able to perform under pressure and, you know, never waste a crisis. Yeah. Just go and teach them what to do.
Speaking of Mark Ginther, that 06-07 back-to-back state championships, Dallas Beeler and Ginther are in the same situation. Dallas is a quarterback, yet you move him to receiver, you guys take off, and Mark Ginther, you know, Gatorade Player of the Year. What can you say about him?
He's ridiculous. That's all you can say about him. I've never, and you know, here's what I tell everybody about Mark. You know, baseball was his passion. That's what he worked at. Football was his hobby. And I've never seen anything like it. I mean, literally, for his career, he's nearly 75% completions. He doesn't throw the ball to the other team very often. When you insert Dallas Beeler, who could play inside, outside, and tight end, and doesn't care because we were really hard to stop. But Mark was on a different level than most high school kids at his quarterback.
I can remember going into his senior year, he played baseball all summer. He comes in the day before the Trojan preview, hadn't even practiced, and I think Cox actually carried it. Yeah. And he goes like 11 out of 12 or something. It's just like he's been practicing for months.
Yeah, so, you know, our big decision is because he got selected for that area code. He's playing in all these pro baseball parks. He hasn't picked up an oblong ball in 4 months. And so the coaches are going, well, you know, should we play him? And I said, you know, the deal we made with this guy is if he will share his talent with us, he's going to be our quarterback. Put him in there. I mean, he didn't know what the snap count was. We had changed it, right? And like you said, he only threw one incompletion and threw for 300 yards and a half, like he had never left. So I don't care what you say, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he was great.